With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Bree Ripley. Republican Congressman Greg Gianforte came by the YPR studio to visit about his first 3 weeks on the job. Gianforte was elected in a special May election to fill the vacancy when President Donald Trump tapped then-Congressman Ryan Zinke to become the U.S. Interior Secretary. In conversation with YPR's Jackie Yamanaka, Gianforte explains he was required to vote on issues immediately.
I wanted to ask you, because you've been on the job such a short time, is it what you expected?
Well, you're right, Jackie. This was my third week representing Montana back in Washington. And the honest truth is I didn't have a lot of expectations going into it. I've been, I was just ready to go to work. And so I've been very pleased with my committee assignments, particularly natural resources, which is really important to Montana. It covers timber, mining, Indian affairs, and public lands. We had a number of hearings this week on that. And then I've also been assigned to the Office Oversight and Government Reform, which is the group. I think there's an opportunity there. I campaigned on the whole premise that we need to fix Washington. This is the group that has oversight responsibility for that. So I was encouraged by that.
So what do you mean, I guess, you had no expectations? Because you came in right kind of in the middle of the congressional session, and all of a sudden you've got to start voting on issues that you really haven't had a chance to study, or did you?
Well, literally thrown in the middle of it. They swore me in on the floor, and my first bill was a bill that said, if we don't balance the budget, you should not get paid. And there was a little bit of pushback from both sides of the aisle on that. So maybe my first contribution was to bring a little bipartisanship back to Washington, because they agreed on that. They didn't like it. But I campaigned on the importance of making sure Montana's voice is heard back there. And I have had the chance to drive 80,000 miles and visit with people in every corner of the state. I did 18 events over the 4th of July break in 18 different counties. So that's where I focused my energy, is on what do we need to do for Montana. And now I'm figuring out how I actually pull the levers back in Washington to get what we need back here in Montana.
As you know, from talking to Montanans, we don't all agree. And so how do you balance out between those who did vote for your opponent and those who did vote for you?
Well, I need to be a voice for all of Montana, not any particular subsegment. And Susan and I have been married 29 years, so I know no two people agree on everything. And that's okay. But I think it's important that there's more in common here in Montana than not, and I need to be the voice for all those for everyone.
One issue, though, where Montanans vehemently disagree is over the Affordable Care Act, and whether or not Congress should repeal and replace, or just repeal and delay. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like now the Senate is going to take a vote next week, although.
Yeah.
Certainly that can change.
Well,
and I'm curious your thoughts. What are you telling Montanans on your position?
Sure. So I think we do agree on the fact that all Montanans need access to affordable health care. And at the end of the day, this is what's wrong with Obamacare. We've seen massive increase in premiums, 133% since 2013. I think the auditor, Matt Rosendale, here recently said that we're going to see, most people see another 23% increase this year. Across the country, we have insurers pulling out of markets. My principles have always been the same related to healthcare. We need to get premiums under control. We need to preserve rural access, and we need to protect people with pre-existing conditions. The Senate needs to do their job, when they get done, we'll have to take it up. We need to apply some discernment to it. But what we're doing today is not working, and that's why I've been so strong that we need to repeal and we need to replace it with something that actually does work.
There's been a suggestion that some of the health insurance companies, in offering their products, are saying that the big increases that we're seeing, in some cases double digits, is because of the uncertainty, because Congress has been unable to act.
Well, I think one of the things Obamacare did not do was deal with some of the underlying costs. For example, in prescription drugs or in medical malpractice area, you know, in terms of. And so one of the things that really surprised me in my first couple of weeks in Washington was that, although it doesn't always get reported in the national media, there's been substantive stuff done in the House. For example, one of the first bills I got to vote on was a medical malpractice reform bill, and we passed it out of the House. And it caps awards for non-economic damages, and it gets doctors out of courtrooms and back seeing patients. It's modeled after something that was done in another state, and we had very broad support for it. So I don't think there's a silver bullet that's going to solve this healthcare problem, but we need to look at all common sense ideas that do the things I mentioned, bring premiums down, preserve rural access, and protect people with pre-existing conditions.
Could that common sense approach that you're talking about include just fixing everything that's wrong with the ACA, also known as Obamacare? I mention Obamacare because that has become a loaded word.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's two views here. Obamacare is taking us towards single payer, which removes consumer choice. And every other place we've tried that, it's driven up costs. The reform attempts that are being discussed, and none of them are perfect, are more towards more consumer choice, allowing individuals to get the services they need. And in every other area of our lives, when there are more choices, we tend to get a better product.
One key component of the ACA, Obamacare, is Medicaid expansion. And Montana's rolls have increased by some 80,000 individuals who now have access to health insurance that perhaps they did not have before. What do you tell those? I mean, what are your thoughts on Medicaid expansion? And what do you say to those Montanans when they're concerned about, now I might get cut off again?
Yeah, so we need a safety net. We need a safety net to help people that can't take care of themselves. With the expansion, we're at a point now where one in five people in Montana is on Medicaid. It's 20%, one in five. This is the goal of everything we're doing, is we have to make healthcare affordable. But if we end up with a plan that people can't afford for whatever reason, then that's not very good insurance either. That's part of the challenge with seeing premiums go up the way they have.
Would you support if any proposal came through the Senate that had the Medicaid expansion component, would you support that?
I do not believe we should rip the carpet out from people that have been added to the program. But I think we also probably need to put some guardrails on it to make sure it's affordable long term, because a program that's upside down financially doesn't work for anybody. And that's the discernment that needs in this. And that's the common sense we need to apply. And this is what, you know, I did in business my whole life, is we balance budgets. And a program that we can't afford doesn't work either. We can't rip the carpet out from underneath people, but we must make sure that we can afford the program.
What does that mean, though, I guess, for an individual who doesn't have insurance through their employer? Because we're talking about people who more than likely are working for Medicaid expansion under Montana's HELP Act. Mm-hmm. But they don't make enough money to buy their own insurance. We've certainly been talking a lot about this is one of the problems. Mm-hmm. But their employer doesn't provide insurance. And they might be wondering, okay, Congressman, I hear what you're saying, but in reality, what does that mean for us as, you know, mm-hmm. someone who now has this product?
Yeah. I do not advocate pulling the carpet out from the people that have been added to the program.
So are you talking about a soft landing?
You know, the Senate is debating this right now, and I don't know where they're going to end up. They need to do their job and get a repeal and replace package out. Mitch McConnell has said that they'll stay and keep working on it. The leadership in the House has said when the Senate passes it, even if we're on recess in August, they'll call us back within 72 hours to get working on it. This is critically important. It's the number one topic. And Jackie, I can't claim I have all the answers, but we need to solve it. And we need to provide the safety net, and we need a program that doesn't bankrupt the country as well. So those are the challenge we face.
Now, you're going to be visiting with folks down at the Bighorn County Hospital. Yeah. And certainly hospital administrators are concerned because as the number of uninsured could potentially rise, the amount of charity care or unreimbursed care is a risk for hospitals in rural Montana.
Yeah. And the challenge we have, as we talked about, is that under Obamacare, we've seen premiums go through the roof. It's 133%. And a government-mandated health insurance program that people can't afford doesn't really work either. And so we've got to get our arms around it. And you're right. I have toured many of the critical access hospitals around the state. We were meeting yesterday with an executive from we met on the plane from Cutbank Hospital, where they have 20 beds. And there are unique challenges in rural America, and that's my commitment to Montana, is that whatever we do at the national level, rural America and rural Montana doesn't always have its voice heard. There are unique issues there. That's why I'm going to Bighorn County today, to hear firsthand what the issues are so I can be their voice back in Washington.
But if they say to you, Congressman Greg, we are in Montana, can we count on your vote to support us?
We need to preserve rural access. So the answer is yes.
Okay. I want to turn to, in just a few minutes we have left, just as you know, drought, fire are just rampant across our region right now. And a lot of those resources that are needed, the dollars, quite frankly, to talk plainly, are coming from the federal government. Your thoughts on, you know, as you have talked about during the campaign, your concern about debt.
Yeah. I was up at the Zortman fire last week, and let me just say, I was very impressed. The BLM was being praised by the county commissioners. The BLM was being praised by local citizens. I went into Landusky 2 hours after the residents were allowed back in, and there were 40 firefighters that had spent the night. The fire had come down one hillside, literally burned the lawns in the backyards of these houses, jumped the houses, and burned all the timber on the other side. What they accomplished was nothing short of miraculous and certainly heroic. So we have great teams out there. I think one of the challenges is our forests burn every summer, and this particular summer will be worse than most because it's so dry. Unfortunately, we eat up the operating budgets from our federal agencies. I personally believe that these fires, when they reach a certain threshold, are national disasters, and we ought to look at alternative funding mechanisms for them so that we don't eat up the dollars that would otherwise be used for forest management and the recreational programs and the other things that are needed on the ground.
Do you like all of this policy in depth that you're now finding yourself having to deal with?
Well, I'm an engineer. I like solving problems. And I'll tell you, Jackie, one of the things that's been so encouraging to me, having been back in Washington, one is I love coming home every weekend, which is allows me to touch home base. But some of the things, the first bill I got to vote on was a Ryan Zinke bill that is going to help us better manage our forests. And that passed out of the House. And then we voted on two immigration laws, one that would block federal dollars to municipalities that don't support our federal immigration laws, no sanctuary for criminals. We passed Kate's Law, which increased penalties for illegal immigrants who commit felonies and then sneak back into the country and commit more crimes. We passed, as I mentioned, medical malpractice. We also passed out of the House a robust funding bill for our military that gave all our soldiers the largest raise they've had in 8 years. We need to give our servicemen and women the tools they need. We should be hesitant to send them in harm's way, but we've been depriving them for a long time. So we don't always hear all that news nationally, but we're wrestling with the right issues. And I'm just really honored to be there on behalf of Montana. And I just want to say to folks that my door is always open. And that's why I'm out this week. I'm trying to get back to every county as quickly as I can. I did 18 last week over the 4th. I'll do 8 or so county visits this week. And, you know, the bigger something gets, the farther you are from the truth. So I got to be out on the front line.
I just have to ask one last question.
Okay.
Because otherwise I would be accused of malpractice by my cohort as well as the public. But I'm asking you for your comment on, I guess, the action by the Gallatin County attorney that you do submit to the regular booking process.
Well, that's a technical legal issue. I'll let the lawyers sort it out. My focus is on serving the people of Montana.
And so if your attorneys are not able to work out a deal with the Gallatin County attorney, you'll show up and...
I'll do what's appropriate. And I'll let them sort it out, and then we'll take the next step.
Okay. Any other comments that you'd like to bring up that I did not?
Again, I just conclude by saying I'm really humbled and honored to be in this position, and my door is always open, and I look forward to serving the state.
You've been listening to a conversation between Montana's lone congressman, Greg Gianforte, and Yellowstone Public Radio's Jackie Yamanaka. Thanks for listening.